Holy and righteous Father, you are King, you are eternal. Everything that we have that is good comes from you. You teach us how to think. You teach us what to think. We're always in need of you. We are truly dependent. Truly, we need to be taught how to worship you. We think that we know how to worship you. So many, Lord, in this world go to places that are called churches, and whatever type of situation that takes place, the people feel that that's acceptable worship because that's what they've always done. But Lord, you have a way that you want to be worshiped. You know what it is that you demand of us. What we are to think concerning you, and what duty that we have towards you. This is your world. We are servants. We don't get to run it. You run it. Bless us. Teach us your ways. Teach us what is righteous concerning you. Father, we always need to obey you. We always need to show that we know that we are subservient. I ask you to let everything that we do in our lives be according to your word. It's important that we do so. Lord, we in need today, and we know it. We need your help, your guidance to be bold when necessary, to be meek when necessary. But we need you to be our Lord. Teach us how to worship you. Show us that worship is what you demand and what we should be enjoying. So I ask you, as we go through the passage today, that you help our minds, that you cause our minds to realize that the worship that we give to you is what you deserve because of your might, because of your power, because of what you have done in this world, and because of your blessed and your holy and your righteous name. I ask you to teach us how to please you in our worship. Amen. Amen. And even so, amen. Tonight, November the 2nd, 2017, we're going into the 20th Psalm. And I believe it's beautiful, at least for the sake of me being the teacher, that the 20th Psalm comes right after the 19th Psalm, not just a number that 20 comes after 19, but what is in it. And we talked about proper worship coming from the revealed word of God. I would submit to you, and I'd like to lay before you tonight, understanding who we worship is revealed in the word of God. Now, a lot of this is coming from this passage. I'm going to dovetail it into the New Testament, as it is called. But I'm going to show you, if I'm able to do what's in my heart, how this works together with what has been revealed. again, proper worship to God, we talked about, was from his revealed word. But knowing who is worshiped, knowing the God that we worship, is just as important as singing, jumping up and down, saying, I have a faith in God, for there are God's many, and there are Lord's many. But to the people that know their God who will do exploits, they know who their God is. We're going to look tonight at the God that's revealed in Scripture. We're going to look to him, and all of our worship should go to him. Look at what the magnificent Scripture says here. I want to give us a short refresher. It's important that we look at what we looked at in Psalm 19. In Psalms 19, when we read down to the sixth verse, it talked about the heavens declaring the glory of God, how the things in the heaven and in the earth, it speaks universally. It speaks without any subterfuge or any deceit. It speaks of the glory of God. It tells about the knowledge of God. As a matter of fact, it even goes so far, it shows that the Son is like an itinerant preacher that goes around the circuit. And there's no place that his lightness, heat does not affect. Understand, if it doesn't receive light, it receives heat, it receives something on the face of the earth from God that's there. Then it tells about the law of the Lord. So you have God's law that you see in what we call nature. God's law in the things that operate according to his order, and the things that we see in such a way that have been designed, it declares his glory. But that is not enough to teach us what it takes to be saved. It does not teach you who God is and how he is to be worshiped. Again, in the 19th Psalm, it tells you that then it goes and tell you about the law of the Lord, the testimony of the Lord, the commandment of the Lord, the statutes of the Lord, the fear of the Lord, and the judgments of the Lord. And these are the things that teach us who God is, his nature, his character, what he wants from mankind, and the things that he provides with his law, his testimony, his statutes, his commandments, the fear that should come from him and his judgment. It teaches us what's necessary to be converted or to be restored, to become wise, to rejoice the heart, to have the eyes enlightened, to have our lives clean, and for us to be true and to be righteous. And then he said, those are the things that we should be desiring. Those are the things that we should find our desire goes to. Just like a man will desire a beautiful woman, a beautiful car, desire money, he'll desire the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. Women will desire pretty things, a husband, a car, security, etc. Most of those things can be obtained by gold. If you're ugly, you can buy another face, you can buy hair, you can buy breast, bottom, anything that you want, you can buy an illusion. If you got enough gold, if you got enough power, people will act like you had it. I would submit to you, the word of God is saying there to be desired more than gold, yea, than much fine gold. And it says, in keeping of them, there's great reward. And it asks the question about what person think that they have enough intelligence to determine where God has errors or faults. And it comes right on, right in front of telling the Lord to keep his servant back from presumptuous sins. Sins that I think I can do what I want to when I want to, and I can make my own way, as if God is ignorant and God made some laws that were not necessary. I said, I'm proud or I'm happy in teaching this, that the 19th Psalm that talks about the revealed word of God in the heaven and then his special revealed word in chapter, in verse that were given by the prophets, that were written down, that were handed down, that was settled forever in heaven, the very thing that one should need to learn to meditate on in order to be clean, to be pure, to have his soul converted. The 20th Psalm shows us that the word of God shows us who it is that we are supposed to worship. Listen to it. Psalm 20, to the chief musician, a psalm of David. The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob defend thee. Send thee help from the sanctuary and strengthen thee out of Zion. Remember all thy offerings and accept thy burnt sacrifice. Selah. Grant thee according to thine own heart and fulfill all thy counsel. We will rejoice in thy salvation. And in the name of our God, we will set up our banners. The Lord fulfill all thy petitions. Now know I, the Lord saveth his anointed. He will hear him from his holy heaven. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. Say, Lord, let the King hear us when we call. These passages may not mean anything right off the top, but what I want to do is show that proper worship has a lot to do with knowing who you worship. And I would say that this passage here in three places shows us who we are worshiping. Knowing who we worship is very important. Knowing who we worship is a part of proper worship. We are not worshiping a generic God. I want you to look at three verses, and I want you to see where the thrust of where I'm coming from is. Not that this passage can't be taught some other way. Because God knows if I had to teach it five times, I would find five different things that are just as true to talk about. But right now, the thing that is sticking out to me, is this. Yahweh, you see the Lord, Yahweh here in the day of trouble. Listen to the second part of verse 1. The name of the God of Jacob defending. Listen to the second part of verse 5. And in the name of our God, we will set up our banners. Listen to the second part of verse 7. But we will remember the name of the Lord our God. The heavens do not declare that. The firmament does not tell his name. Day unto day given speech does not tell that. But the law of the Lord tells that. The statutes of the Lord, the commandments of the Lord, I would submit to you that his judgments, they let you know these things about him, his name, his character, and who he is. And in order to truly worship him, one must trust in his name. You must know who you're worshiping. Because if you don't know who you're worshiping, I believe any old God would do. And most of the time, any old God equals oneself, one's culture, and one's ungodly desires. To the chief musician, I want everybody to be able to have this song, a psalm of David. I want you all to be able to have this in the time of war. I want you to be able to have this when things are going on. I want you all to be able to come and say, Yahweh, here in the day of trouble. In the day of trouble, we need you to hear. And in the name of the God of Jacob, defend thee. Do you notice how he is talking to the chief musician to give this? And then the Lord here, and in the day of trouble, defend thee. It reminds me of what, when we were in an Old Testament class, they called something the way they had it labeled. It was called an Aaronic benediction. And I want you to hear it so you can kind of see how what's being done in this psalm is similar. In Numbers 6 and 1, listen to what God told Moses. And Yahweh, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when either a man or a woman separate themselves to a vow, to vow a vow of a Nazarite, he shall separate himself from wine and strong drink, shall drink no vinegar or wine or vinegar or strong drink, neither shall he drink liquor of the grapes, nor eat moist grapes. And he'll go through and he'll give him all of the things that's supposed to be done during this time in order so that he can be consecrated, dedicated to the Lord. And this individual at this time, although he may not have been a priest before, although he may not have ever served in the office of a priest, what that individual will be able to do at that time with this vow, his head will be dedicated to the Lord, just like the high priest would have a mitre on his head that says, holiness to the Lord. This man is now in the position of being in not only consecration to the Lord, but whatever battles or whatever is necessary to be done by this person during this time, God can use him. Samson was one of those. Samuel was what we would call a Nazarite to the Lord. At least this is what we find in history. But listen to what God tells the high priest to do to these that would be able to serve, although they hadn't always been in that position of being able to have a dedicated head to the Lord. And I'm speaking of a real head because of the hair. Listen to what the Bible says in the 22nd verse. And I want you to see that this is, I'm going to go to 21 so you can see that this is after all of this with the Nazarite vow. It says, this is the law of the Nazarite who is vowed and of his offering to the Lord for his separation. Besides this that is in his hand shall get according to the vow which he had vowed. He must do after the law of his separation. If you want to read about the Nazarite vow, I hope I've whet your appetite enough to read about it. But listen to this sweet part here. In verse 22, and Yahweh, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak to Aaron and unto his sons, saying, on this wise you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Let me read it this way without the tetragram. Yahweh bless thee and keep thee. Yahweh make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. Yahweh lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. and they shall put my name, which name have we been talking about? Yahweh, upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. So all of the children of Israel, all of those that are in the priesthood, even those that have done something special, everybody that is in the camp, everybody that's a child of Israel, even those in special positions, they get Yahweh's name upon them. That's the one that's going to bless. That's the one that's going to keep. That's the one that you want his face glowing off of you with wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and approval. Gracious to give you what you don't deserve. Lift his countenance to hear you out. Give you peace in the midst of trouble. And look, I'll put my name, my authority on them. I believe in a similar way, when you read this passage, when David gives this passage to the musician, to the chief musician, the Lord hear thee in the time of trouble or in the day of trouble. Got it? The name of Yahweh, or the name of the God of Jacob, defend thee. Sending help from the sanctuary and strengthen thee out of Zion. Remember all thine offerings and accept thy burnt offering, Selah. Whenever wartime came, they would often make sacrifices. When wartime came, they had learned from that inception of coming out of Egypt. Moses had told them the battle is the Lord's. Now, if somebody's were to say, Tim, I don't remember it being like that. Well, let me give it to you this way. When the people murmured, stand still and see the salvation or the deliverance of the Lord. Joshua chapter 5, we see Joshua goes up and he sees his figure. We would say a man. Oh, but much more. And Joshua wanted to know whose side he was on. And this man said, I'm the captain of the host, or of the Lord's host. Take off your shoes from off your feet. So he says, send help from the sanctuary. Send help from your heaven. When you say sanctuary, the sanctuary was a type and a figure of heaven. Now, if he'd have sent somebody through the Holy of Holies, they would have accepted it. But he's asking God to send help that doesn't come from man. If you think that I'm telling a lie, if you think I know not what I'm talking about, if you think that I've added something to it, go to verse 7 with me. Some trust in chariots and some in horses. But we will remember the name of Yahweh, our God. So he's saying here, send help from the sanctuary. Send help from heaven. That word sanctuary is talking about a holy place. And strengthen thee, asking Yahweh to strengthen you out of Zion, his holy hill. Remember your offerings. In other words, remember that you have given tribute. Remember that when you did wrong, you came and you did what was necessary to try to get it right. Remember you took part in the service. Remember that all other offerings that you had where you actually commune with him. And then accept thy burnt offering, Selah. But who are we talking about? We're talking about the God of Jacob. Then, not Baal, not Molech, not anyone else. Talking about God, grant thee according to thine own heart and fulfill thy counsel. What counsel? The laws that's been revealed, the statutes that have been revealed, the testimonies that have been revealed, the judgments that have been revealed, so that the individual would not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, so he would not stand in the way of sinners, so that this person would be what you want him to be, so that when you have blessed him and you have determined to keep him and to make your face shine upon him and to lift up your countenance upon him, that this man could be in peace in the time of trouble. Bless God forever. Amen. He is worthy to be praised. We must necessarily, I say, know who it is that we're worshiping. We must worship God in truth. Where you get that from? Didn't the Bible tell us in the book of John, chapter 4, verse 24, when he talked to that woman at the well? I know some of you can say it with me. God is spirit. Somebody might say, Tim, you left the A out because the A wasn't in the Greek. And I just don't want to say God is a spirit. Since I don't have to. God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. The revealed word of God teaches us how to serve God properly, but I would submit to you, we must know who we are worshiping in order to worship God properly. Listen to what God says about that magnificent name that we're talking about here. What do you mean that magnificent name? It says the name of the God of Jacob, defend thee. Was this something new that they had never heard about? Well, if you think it is, go back in your Bible. If you can't do it in your mind, go back to Exodus, in the book of Exodus, chapter 23. I talked to a young man this week. He was talking about the Ten Commandments. I said, in order for you to understand the Ten Commandments, what you're really going to have to do is go back to Exodus, and you're going to have to read Exodus 20, 21, 22, and 23. But in Exodus 20, 23, and 20, listen to what God says to his people. It's very beautiful. It says, behold, I send an angel. When you think of angel, don't always think of what we call angelic beings. Think of messengers. Let the context, when you read the scriptures, tell you whether what you're talking about is what we call an angelic being. Because if you don't do that, you'll end up calling something an angel that really wasn't an angel. Let me give you one case in point. In James chapter 2, verse 25, when James is talking about Rahab the harlot, it says, tell me what you ought to do. You ought to go ahead and read, just read 25. That's good enough. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she received the messengers? The Greek word there is angelos. Okay, the Greek word there is angelos. And what we began to see, if you look at that, is that there were really two people that came. Those people were spies, and they were not what we would call angel today. So what we end up seeing is that individuals or people could be called angels. But if you don't know that, you'll be thinking when you read this in Exodus 23 that, oh, this is an angel. And then like some people, they have determined that Jesus is just an angelic being and he is not God in the flesh. Now, when you look in the book of Joshua, this is where this goes from. I'm not going to teach all of this, but I just want you to hear what was said in Joshua 2 and 1. Then I'm going to make my point back in Exodus. It says, Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim two men, to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came into the harlot's house named Rahab, and she lodged there. And it was told the king, saying, behold, there came men in thither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country. I'm just going to let it be right there. I just wanted to show that there's a time that you have to let the context tell you what that word angelos mean, or malak, which is another word for messenger. Okay, great. Now it says, behold, I'm back in Exodus 23 and 20. Our point is being made, what we are coming from in Psalms, the 20th, where it says, Yahweh here in the day of trouble, the name of the God of Jacob defend thee. And what I was saying is that this should not have been new to them. They should have already known what Moses had told Aaron to say to say to them. But listen to what the Bible says. I believe even before, I know it's even before he had given Aaron that to give the people. In the 23rd chapter of Exodus, verse 23, it says, behold, I send an angel or a messenger before thee to keep thee in the way and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. Beware of him. Beware of him. and obey his voice. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgression. For my name is in him. For my name is in him. My name is in him. But if thou shalt indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then will I be an enemy to thine enemies and an adversary to thine adversaries. For mine angels will go before thee and will bring thee unto the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, and the Canaanites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, and I will cut them off. Thou shalt not bow down to their gods, nor serve them, nor do after their works, but thou shalt utterly overthrow them and quite break down their images. You could read some more of that. It's going to be good. But the point that I want us to get back to here in the psalm, here in the day of trouble, the name of the God of Jacob defend. Do what you said you would do before. You said you'd send your angel. Back then, send your messenger, send your power, and strengthen out of Zion, not horses, not chariots, whatever means you choose to use, whether you choose to use a hornet, whether you choose to use an earthquake, whether you choose to use a stone, five smooth stones, whether you choose to use arrows, rockets, horses, whatever it is, you send. And remember how we serve you with our offerings and with our sacrifice. And grant, according to thine own heart, to fulfill your will. Listen to what the Bible says in the New Testament. John 17 and 11. Listen to Jesus pray. Jesus says, and now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name. Keep through thine, protect, save, protect, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. What kind of keeping can the name of God do? We look back there, we saw in Exodus 20, I shouldn't have to read it again. I mean, not that I won't get joy out of reading it again, but I want to move on. Verse 4, grant according to thine own heart, whichever way you want to do it, fulfill your counsel. Then it says, we will rejoice in thy salvation. Do you see that? But do you remember back in the other chapter, in 19, verse 8, it says the statutes of the Lord are right. In other words, whatever his precepts are, whatever is written down for you to know, they rejoice the heart. Here in the day of trouble, here in the day of asking God to defend, and you say, God, do according to your counsel, and we will rejoice. There is salvation in the revealed word of God. Then he says, and in the name of our God. Do you understand? And each time he's saying it, you must take into consideration they knew the name of God. They knew I am. They knew how to say Ehye. They knew how to say Yahweh. They knew how to say Yah. They knew who their God was. And they knew that his name was not Lord. They knew he was a Lord. They knew he was the Lord. And the reason why I say a Lord is because there were many other lords for other nations and other countries. But they knew that their Lord was above all lords. That's why Paul could say, though there be gods many and lords many, to us, there's only one God and one Lord, Jesus Christ. And it says in the name, verse 5, that's what we are, In the name of our God will we set up our banner. In the name of our Lord will we set it up. Let it be known who we serve. Do we know him? Or are we one of those kind of people that don't care that much about God's name and don't care that much about his word? Listen to Peter talk. One that was with Jesus when Jesus had prayed, keep through thine own name. Listen to what the word of God say. This is very beautiful. 2 Peter 1, verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power have given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that have called us unto glory and virtue, whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Do you understand when you read the sweet word of God? Do you understand that that's the reason why he wanted to be you to be kept in his name? The reason that he wanted us, or he wanted the disciples in particular, when Peter is talking and Peter is going back in his mind to be kept through his name, that was a benefit in it. What is the benefit? Listen to the benefit. I want you to hear it. He was there when Jesus prayed in John 17 and 20. Listen to it. Neither pray I for these alone, but for all them, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me, and the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one even as we are one, I in them, thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me and has loved me and loved them as thou hast loved me. Listen to what Peter says here in 2 Peter 1 and 3. According as his divine power have given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that have called us to glory and virtue, whereby given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. We in him, he in us, God in him, God in us, that we may be one. The glory God gave him, the glory he shared with us, that the world may know that we are in him and we are not them, and that we have been set aside for the work of God. But he says in verse 5, and besides all of this, and to your faith, virtue. And virtue, knowledge. Knowledge, temperance. Temperance, you get your temperance, patience. Patience, godliness. Godliness, brotherly kindness. Then it says to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge. Listen. Of our Lord Jesus Christ. Where did we talk about in Psalm 19 that the knowledge of God comes from? The heavens declare, the firmament declare, day and day give speech. The things that are invisible are declared by the things that are visible, but then we have the revealed special word, revelation of God, that tells us what proper worship is. And because we have that, now we know who we're worshiping. We're worshiping Yahweh. We're worshiping the I Am. We're worshiping Yah. We're worshiping His Son. We're worshiping His Messiah. Not because we're guessing, but because it has been revealed through the scripture that the seed of the woman would crush the head of the serpent. We realize that the Bible says, and what the Bible teaches is a complete compendium or a complete deposit of what it is for mankind to know in order to be saved, and not just know that there is a God. And Peter brings it down and say, look, it's about Jesus, His Son. Jesus will always reflect you to the Father, and the Father will reflect you to Jesus. You should be one in Him, just like Jesus is one in the Father, and the Father is one in Him. You should be one in them. And when you have these things, they mean that you have partaken of the divine nature. You're not God, but you have partaken in it. You have escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. Verse 9, still in 2 Peter. But he that lacks these things is blind and cannot see afar off, for he has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. Listen to this. For so an interest shall be ministered unto you abundantly in the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You go back and you look at this psalm. Remember my offering. I'm back in verse 3, Psalms 20. Set my sacrifice. Grant according to thine own heart and fulfill thy own counsel. What was the counsel? God wanted us to be one in His Son. He wanted us to become accepted in the Beloved. And then it says, we will rejoice in your salvation. And in the name of God will we set up our banners. Won't we set up our banners? Won't we say, Lord, we love you? Won't we say, Lord, we need you? Won't we say, we're not ashamed of you? There are people that will stand for a flag, but will you stand for the Lord? Is the Lord your banner? Is He Yahweh Nisi to you? He said, we'll stand, this will be our banner. And then He says, Yahweh, fulfill all thy petitions, all of your prayers. Just like Aaron was saying, the Lord bless you and keep you and be gracious to you. The Lord fulfill all your petitions. And He says, now know I that the Lord saveth His anointed. I know that Yahweh saved me. I'm His King. I know it. He will hear from His holy heaven with saving strength of His right hand. In other words, I don't know how He's going to do it every time, but I know who will do it. Because the revelation of God has taught me who to worship, who I am worshiping properly. And He says, some trust in chariots, some trust in horses. He said, but we will remember the name of the Lord or Yahweh, our God. We'll remember that. Some folk don't even know it. They got a generic God. He said, listen to what was going on in the day of trouble. They were brought down and fallen. The one that trusts in horses, the one that trusts in chariots. We're talking about mean stuff in the days of that kind of warfare. But they were brought down and fallen. But we are risen and stand upright. Save, Lord. You know, like when they were crying that time to Jesus, Hosanna? Save, Lord. And they were saying for the Lord, Yeshua, Yahweh. Yes, the word save. Yes, yes, Lord. Let the King hear us when we call. Notice this man is king, but he is saying, let the King hear when He call. Now, one of the magnificent things about knowing who God is, we see all this calling on the name of the Lord. One thing that we can never forget as the children of God, when you want to know who God is, It's one thing to know that God told Moses, and I'm going to go to it, Exodus 3 and 14, but I want you to smell it. It says, and God said to Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thou shalt say to the children, I am have sent me unto you. One of the things that you should see in this is that by God saying that that's who he is, and that he said in the 15th verse, and it says, moreover, God said to Moses, thou shalt say to the children of Israel, the Lord God, or Yahweh God, that's right, Yahweh, God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob have sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial to all generations. Even in that particular passage, we still see Yahweh. We still see God. We also see him say, I am that I am. But if you're going to serve God and you're going to know who God is, if you don't know who God is, you can't serve him properly. You must know who he is, and that comes through the revealed word. And in order to know who God is, you must know something about him. Some people call it his attributes. Some would call it his traits. Some call it his perfections. I do like perfections because if you, I could say 100%, but perfections, one, is because everything that God has is not in little bitty parts. So I'm going to just kind of throw some out here for you before we end tonight. The God, that you, the name that you're going to trust, one, God is spirit. If you don't ever understand that God is spirit, I will tell you that one thing you will begin to do is maybe you could be duped like some people are. There have been some people that have been duped to think that men that are living on the earth with them, that have nothing to do with eternity or God. I meet men today that say that the black man is God. Well, if he is, it makes my heart sad, because there are just some things that I've seen that ought not be coming from God. And it said, and I'm saying that he is infinite in his being, because for all his generations, he is who he says that he is. I also would say that you will never be able to find everything out about God, because you cannot fully fathom God. He's glorious. He's all sufficient, perfect. And that what Matthew 5 and 48 say, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Doesn't the Bible teach us in the 17th chapter that God tells that he's almighty? When he meets Abraham, he says, I'm the almighty. We realize that God is everywhere present at all times. In the 139th Psalm, he said, and there's nowhere I can hide from you. We hadn't gotten there yet. But we realize we were in the book of the Revelation. And it talks about him being the one that was, it is, and is to come. According to the Bible, in Romans 16, it says, to God only wise. We realize that the seraphim called out, God's name is holy three times. Holy, 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 most holy. So when we start reading about what we call the perfections of God, and you start to call on God, and you start to worship God, you should know something about him. You should learn something about him. He's not what we think that he is. He's what he says that he is. Yes, the heavens declare, the firmament shows that there is God, and that he created, and that he's in charge, and he keeps order. But the special revealed word of God reveals his nature in ways that the firmament doesn't. What man is to believe concerning God and his duty. So when this 20th comes, this 20th chapter, as I call it, comes, it shows us specifically and with specificity that we need to know who God is that we worship in order to worship him properly. You should read the things that God says about himself. You should read about the things that he says about the Lord Jesus. And when you begin to see these things, then when you see something like this passage, Yahweh here in the day of trouble, the name of the God of Jacob, defend thee. All your attributes, your inability to be totally comprehended, your ability to be everywhere at the same time, your ability to be almighty and all powerful, to be most wise, most holy, most merciful, perfect in judgment, abundance in goodness and truth. When we say the name of the God of Jacob, defend you. In other words, everything that you stand for, and to know that God would have his name placed on his people. Yes, when you call on the name of God, when you call out Father, if you don't call, that's one, that would be a name or one of the attributes of God. It's not AA, it's not Yahweh, but we can call him Father as well. Who are you calling on? You can call on a tank, you can call on the United States Army, you can call on the UN Army. But if the name of God is who you call on and he answers, there's not a battleship, there's not a bomb that can stop you. Then help from heaven. Strengthen out of Zion. Remember our offerings, our service. Accept the burnt sacrifice. Accept this substitute for me. Grant according to your own heart, your heart, Lord. Fulfill your counsel, not only in the world, but in me. And we will rejoice in your salvation. And in that name of our God, will we set up our banners in holiness, righteousness, justice, under the auspices of the Almighty, under the auspices, under the justice of the Most Just. We will do that. And Lord, fulfill our petition because we trust in you. We set up our banners. You said, this is who we worship. We put like folk ride around with a Falcon banner in their car, and the Falcons could have lost every game. They still ride around with it. I knew people used to ride around with a banner of their church, and their pastor was having an inappropriate relationship with boys in their church, and they ride around with the banner in their church like that was something big. The name of our God does not let us down. He said, the Lord saveth his anointed. He will hear from heaven. So I'm trusting the wrong thing, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God, because not only do we, if you just take this to be you remember his name, you miss the whole point. You miss the whole point of him saying, I am that I am. You miss the whole point of him, his revealed word. When you remember the name of the Lord, everything that is affixed to it goes with it. That's why he was able to say they were brought down and fallen, but we were risen and stand aright. Lastly, in the last part of this message, when you look at this from the vantage point of our Lord Jesus Christ in the day of trouble, when he started preaching, when they wanted to kill him, when he opened the book in Luke chapter 4, they wanted to kill him. When he would heal, they'd want to kill him. But God defended him. He sent help from the sanctuary. One time he said, if I just pray, my daddy will send me 12 legions of angels. There were times people were having problems believing him. God sent help from the sanctuary. This is my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. There comes a dove down. Strengthen out of Zion. Yes, the Lord strengthened him. He was in the Garden of Gethsemane crying. All of the offerings. Oh my God, he offered himself as an offering. Hebrews 10:10. By the which will are we sanctified by the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. A burnt offering was the offering that was the whole, the totality of an offering. Our Lord Jesus Christ, he was totally put on the cross, totally, his whole total sacrifice. And then he says, grant according to your own heart and fulfill your counsel. Jesus told Peter, Peter said, Lord, let them be far away from you. And he said, get behind me, Satan. How then must the scriptures be fulfilled? The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 2, he'll sing in the midst of his brethren. And it says, in the name of the Lord, will we set up our banner. I will submit to you that the banner is set so high that Peter said, there is no other name among men whereby men may be saved. But yet Jesus said, I fulfill your word. I gave them the word that you gave me. And so he says, the Lord fulfilled our petition. Didn't Jesus say the Lord always, the Father always answered his prayer? The Bible said he was here from his holy heaven. I was saving strength from his right hand. Yes, they killed him, but Peter said in Acts chapter 2, God raised him. They had the whole Roman government. They had the Pharisees, Sadducees, scribes, etc. But he trusted in the name of the Lord. He trusted that God would not leave his soul in hell, neither allow his Holy One to see corruption. All those people that came against him, what happened? Look at all those that did not repent. They were brought down and fallen in 70 AD. We at least know that much. But those that trust in the Lord are risen and stand aright, and we should be risen and aright in him. Romans chapter 4 said we were buried with him in baptism unto death, and we're raised with him in the newness of life. I know what I'm talking about. So it said, let the King hear us when we call. Hear us, Lord Jesus. Hear us when we call. Because you've already taught us in your word. He's already taught all of us in his word if we read it. If you ask anything in my name, he said he would do it. It's the Father's desire that you bring forth much fruit. But you'll have some people say that means anything you want. Well, go ask for something wicked. You'll see that's not what he's talking about. Listen to this and I'll be through. We're going to discussion. It's John 15 and 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciple. If you really want to fulfill man's chief end, which is to glorify God and enjoy him fully forever, ask him things that you can do, that you can bear fruit. Ask him, what can I do that I can call upon your name in the day of trouble? Ask him, what can you do in your life that you can learn to depend on his name and all that it stands for? That you could rejoice in his salvation, that you would trust in him instead of your guns, your whatever it is you trust in. And in the day of trouble, let him show himself strong in your behalf. I submit to you, right knowledge of God will ensure proper worship. You cannot worship God properly not knowing who he is. Father, I thank you for your blessed word. It is blessed, it is righteous, it is holy. Teach us to know you. You said in your word, this is life eternal, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Help us to know you and to hold on to you and not give into this world, that we'll be one with you and your son, that you will be one in us, that the world may know that you have brought us out of darkness, brought us into this magnificent light, and that we reflect your light in the world. I ask this for all of us in the blessed name of your holy and righteous son, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. Amen. Amen. And even so, amen.